Welcome to the Natural Marketer Podcast. I am your digital marketing specialist and host, Victoria Smith, the hashtag Natural Marketer. The Natural Marketer Podcast is the natural approach to marketing for small business owners who are working on a small or limited budget. I will deliver insight, pointers, and guidance on getting a small business online and in front of more prospects or walk-in customers. In this day and age, we are all consumed with information. And for a small business to survive, needs to be among all that information. I will guide you through techniques like the Near Me Search Success for local businesses, to how to manage reviews and local listings within a single platform, to the mastery of social SEO, making any small business owner or manager successful in the marketplace. So without further ado, let's dig in to this week's program. In this episode, I will outline content marketing strategies that work for small to mid-sized businesses. I will help provide tips on how to achieve a plan that will get you hits, get you leads through local search and social media content. But before we jump in, enjoy this clip about Jen. She's a small business owner and she has her own struggles. Jen is important because she is just like you in most cases.
Meet Jen. Jen's a business owner trying to make it in the digital age. She knows the internet is vital to the success of her business, but her company is hard to find online. She doesn't know when she gets new reviews. And despite her best efforts, Jen isn't doing so hot on social media. Jen needs a way to manage her online reputation. She needs to conquer digital. For Jen to grow her business, she needs to be found online. Search engines, directories, social media, there's so much to do. It's no wonder Jen is overwhelmed. That's where we come in. We have the complete digital solution to help any business owner. With our help, Jen can master her online presence. She can find out where her business appears online and make sure those listings are accurate. She'll see what her customers are saying and can respond quickly and easily. Jen will get alerts on any device every time there's a new review, and she can request feedback in ways that work best for her customers. Then, she can share those reviews to amplify positive word of mouth. She'll know any time her business is mentioned, even in the nooks and crannies of the internet. Plus, Jen can keep an eye on her competition. So now Jen is happy. Why? Because search engines can find her, which means customers can too. Engagement is up and new business is flooding in, all while Jen is climbing Google's search results. It's brand management done right.
Do you relate to Jen? Do you have similar pain points? Well, you're in the Small Business Club then. In this episode, you're going to get tools to help you get started with content. So let's get started. As a small business, developing and implementing a digital marketing strategy can be a challenge for a series of reasons. A smaller budget and fewer resources means less time and money to pursue the sufficient strategies. Lacking points of data and analytics to reference from small past marketing plans, and a smaller, potentially less experienced team is available. But these problems aren't the end of the road. Content marketing is one of the best marketing strategies for any small business. It's affordable and practical, and it can be done in-house. Even if your content strategy isn't super intricate, you can still need it in one place. Businesses that have content marketing strategies are more successful than those that don't. So consider it a necessity. It's not about pumping out as much content as possible. Quality trumps quantity every time because content is still king. Content marketing costs 60% less than any traditional form of marketing, making it an ideal choice for any small business owner. Content marketing is best for small businesses as it returns are long term. The belief that meaningful and valuable content forms a bond of trust between the consumer and the brand is the core to content marketing strategies for any small business. Small business content marketing strategies must create meaningful content for the target audience. Another crucial content marketing tip for small business owner is to utilize proper distribution channels. If one is patient and makes consistent efforts, content marketing for any small business will yield excellent results. And that's where I'm here to help. As a small business owner, why content is so important and how it can help your business? because it's a type of marketing that focuses on creating and distributing valuable, relevant, and consistent content to attract and retain a clearly defined audience, and ultimately to drive profitable customer actions. In other words, with content marketing, you create informative and entertaining blog posts, infographics, videos, ebooks, and more, with the goal of attracting your ideal customer or client. Once you have their attention, your goal is to then convert them into paying customers or clients. Content marketing can be an extremely effective marketing strategy for your small business. That's because it's relatively affordable. You can get started with the spending of without spending a lot of money, and it's highly versatile. So you can tailor your content to fit your unique brand voice and business goals. How does that sound so far? I know when I started my small business 7 years ago, I was like, where do I get started? I'm a marketer and I have tons of content, but I don't want to overwhelm everybody. So I had to strategically outline what I wanted to do. So I'm going to use some of my own resources that I've gathered over the years to help you, a small business owner, get in front of more people and drive those audiences into your business or to your website and make them make a sale. So let's go into more. Content marketing can help you build trust with your target audience. When people read a valuable content that's relevant to their needs or interests, they begin to see you as an expert in your field, which helps build trust and loyalty. And when people trust your brand, they're more likely to do business with you. When executed correctly, content marketing can be an extremely effective way to attract new leads and customers to your small business. A recent study from the Content Marketing Strategy found that 70% of small businesses are using content marketing, and those who do have seen an ROI, or return on investment, of 13 times. Can you imagine 13 times your ROI? That's amazing for any small business because our bottom line is much smaller than, say, Walmart out there or Amazon. Some of the most common benefits of content marketing for small businesses include generating more leads, nurturing relationships with prospects, improving sales conversions, reducing marketing costs. So what do you do with those? By creating helpful, informative content that is easy for your audience to find through search engine optimization and social media, you can increase the number of leads that your business generates. By providing your audience with a valuable content regularly, you can start to build trust and nurture relationships with potential customers, even before they're ready to buy. Once a lead is ready to buy, high-quality content can be extremely effective in helping them make a purchase decision. In fact, according to Demand Gen Report's 2016 Content Preferences Survey, 80% of business-to-business buyers say they use vendor-provided content during the purchasing process. So that's going to be someone like me. But if you're a restaurant, a nail salon, a hair salon, you're going to be more towards the business to consumer. So you're not going to have content that is relevant to a business to business. So what kind of content do you produce? Well, that's where your expertise comes into play. If you're a nail salon, you're going to want to generate content that is attractive to a younger buyer that likes getting their nails done, has lots of color and lots of graphic content. Video content is ideal in that situation. Because an inbound marketing strategy, meaning you're bringing customers to you rather than going out to finding them, content marketing can be very cost effective. The Content Marketing Institute Teddy mentioned above found that small businesses spend an average of $134 per month on content marketing, which is just a fraction of the cost of outbound marketing, like paid advertising. $134 a month. So how do you prioritize that $134 a month? When you follow the four key elements, audience, content, distribution, and measurement, you'll be on the road to success. Defining your audience is the first and most important step to a successful content marketing strategy. You need to understand who you are trying to reach and with your content and what needs and challenges they have. Once you understand your audience, you can create a content that is tailored to their specific needs. Create compelling content that is second element of a successful strategy. Your content must be interesting, informative, valuable to your audience to get them to engage with you. If your content is not compelling, no amount of distribution will make up for that. Distributing your content is the third element of a successful strategy. Once you've created great content, you need to get it in front of your target audience using the channels they use most often. This may include social media, email newsletters, and even paid advertising. And last but not least, measuring results is the fourth and final element of a successful strategy. Without measuring your audience, you will not know if your strategy is working or if there are areas you need to improve upon. You should measure things like website traffic, leads generated, or sales made as a result of your content efforts. This year, business-to-consumer companies are focused on where their leads are coming from. 64% of respondents reported calculating revenue that their content marketing generates. 51% reported measuring organic traffic, and 19% reported calculating revenue from a non-paid channel. So that's where I come in. I'm the natural marketer. I am the 19%. I'm going to help you generate non-paid channels. That's always my first focus. And then we're going to go into the paid channels. So let's get started. So how do we do all this? How do we create our strategy, and how do we achieve our goals? So it's complex, but it's worth it when you create when you have the tools to create it and you can measure the success of your work. This is going to be a very detailed segment. So I encourage you to grab some drinks, pause it for a second, go grab a drink and get a piece of paper or a notebook where you can take some notes, because this is important. I'm going to dive into the five steps that are essential to any content marketing strategy. And because these tips are crucial, I encourage you to take as many notes as possible. And you can always reference the episode later if you miss a step, or if you want to catch up with me, you can always reach out to me. So we're going to dig into the five steps that are recommended to defining your content marketing strategy. Step one. Define your goals. I like how Asana.com has outlined this process, and I will use their format as my guide to you because it has helped me tremendously over the years. What are goals? SMART goals is an acronym to help you create defined, falsifiable, and attainable goals. SMART, S-M-A-R-T, stands for specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. The SMART acumen is a shortcut to creating great goals because it includes all of the ingredients you need for success. So here's how we break down each piece. Specific. Keep in mind that you're getting your SMART goal to attain a specific objective, not a broad one. You don't just want to initiate to succeed. You want to be specific to project to succeed. To make sure you can achieve them, make sure your goals are specific to what you're working on. For example, instead of creating a goal to raise more money, you might create a goal to raise $20,000 by the end of the year. This is much more specific and gives you a roadmap to work off of. In this case, you can break down how much you need to raise each day to hit that goal, and then create an action plan that enables you to hit that number every day. Measurable. The M in SMART stands for measurable, which helps you evaluate the success or failure of your project. Your goals should have some sort of objective way to measure them, whether it's a deadline, a number, a percent change, or some other measurable element. One way to do this is benchmarks. Benchmarks show you your normal for specific recurring scenarios in your company, so you know what to expect. Using standardized benchmarks, you can set a relevant goal that is measurable, that's easier to measure. For example, let's say you have a benchmark showing that you have 3 new marketing campaigns each year to help you hit your key performance indicators or KPIs. You can use that benchmark to make measurable goals to track progress for both the launches and their related KPIs. Another measurable tool is you have 20,000 set goal, like we talked about in part one here, and you want to track that. So how are you going to track $20,000 goal? Well, how much sales did I make this week? I would recommend setting up a weekly tracking of those sales. How much of that 20,000 did I make in week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4, etc.? The next part is achievability. You don't want your goals to be easy to achieve, but you also want them to make sure you're setting goals that could be conceivably hit. Achievable says that your goal shouldn't be totally outside the realm of possibility. Ask yourself this question. Is the goal within your project scope? If not, it's not achievable. For example, let's say you want to speak Spanish in order to be competitive in your field. If you've never spoken a word of Spanish before, you can't expect to be fluent by next month. That simply isn't an achievable goal. However, you could set a goal to learn from a foreign language app for 20 minutes every day. By establishing a consistent practice, you can set a more achievable goal. Some of you are probably going, what about stretch goals? Are those achievable? Stretch goals are goals that are purposely challenging. For example, if you usually get 30,000 monthly visitors to a website, your stretch goal would get to $50,000. That's a big increase, but this stretch goal is still within the realm of possibility. Make sure you make your stretch goals ambitious, but not impossible. Like aiming to go from 30,000 monthly visitors to 300,000 monthly visitors, example. That's not achievable. Likely is going to be from 30 to 50. So make them achievable. Don't overextend yourself. Realistic. The A and the R of SMART are closely related. In addition to setting achievable goals, you want to set realistic ones as well, like we just discussed. Going from 30 to 300, not realistic, is it? That's not an achievable goal, and it's not realistic. For example, maybe a goal is achievable by getting there would require every team member to work overtime for 6 weeks straight. Even though it might be an achievable goal, it's not a realistic one. Make sure yours is both by creating a clear, resourceful management plan, if you're using team members, for example. Using our achievable goal example of learning to speak Spanish, the goal of setting 20 minutes aside each day to practice Spanish is both realistic and achievable. On the other hand, a goal to practice speaking Spanish for 2 hours every day is probably not realistic for most working adults, even though it's technically achievable. So think about your life, your work-life balance, and many other things within that. So do you have a personal goal? Let's use a personal goal for this example. Personal goal is I want to lose 10 pounds by the end of December. That's achievable. That's realistic. If I said I wanted to lose 50 pounds by the end of December, no, that's not so realistic because I know I can get lazy just like many other adults. So make it achievable and realistic goal at the same time. So though, like I said, are two correlating items, A and R, SMART. And the last part of the SMART goal is time bound. Your SMART goal should have an end date. Without a time limit, your project can drag on and on and on, have unclear success metrics and success from scope creep. Well, that's speaking in marketing terms. Let's just say I don't have a goal of reaching lose 50 pounds by December because I know that's not time bound. So deadlines provide a sense of urgency so that short-term tasks don't drag into long-term unnecessarily. If you haven't already, make sure you outline a clear project timeline for anything that you work on. Deadlines are crucial to implementing goals, since they pretty much force you to take action. If you want to have more focus time at work, you need to decide to set a goal to only check your email for 30 minutes every day. But without a deadline, it's easy to brush it off. Imagine instead if you set a goal to only check your email for 30 minutes every day for a week. Now it starts to feel more comfortable and attainable. So step one is, again, achieving a SMART, S-M-A-R-T, goal for any content marketing strategy. Now, there's so much more to outlining a SMART goal and you can read more about that in my Natural Marketer blog. Just search SMART goals and it'll bring up templates for you. Again, this is crucial to any small business because without goals and objectives, you're just going to run stagnant throughout the year. So be smart and create your SMART goals. Now, let's move on to step two. Identify your audience. Identifying your audience can sometimes be called, if you're looking on it and Googling it, it's called a persona, an audience persona. Never just assume your online audience. Because you dive into any content marketing strategy, you have to find out how customers behave in your digital space by conducting market research. And you're saying, oh gosh, I have to do research in order to figure this out. Most small business owners generally know who their customer is and what type of people they're reaching out to. But in the world of digital marketing, you'd be surprised on how much that varies from your in-person consumer. Because number one, like me, I market to small businesses, mostly small businesses, but generally my content reader is more of a mid-sized to large enterprise, surprisingly. And that's probably because I come from a background of, you know, corporate America. So I have, you know, that language of an entrepreneur, but I have the language of an enterprise. So don't be scared to look into things. You know, where do they live on social media? Where are they already going to find new information? Those types of questions will help you narrow down a target audience demographic. The best way to learn from your audience is to present where they are and give them content they actually want. So we talked earlier about a nail salon. Nail salon's going to use Instagram or even YouTube probably to market their content because they're going to have visual content. And those two platforms are known for younger audiences and more visual audiences. Unlike Facebook, which is more of your older generation that's looking to read things. And obviously not LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is your business-to-business type of marketplace. So to know your audience is to know your channel. And to know your channel is to know your persona. So a tool that I love to use often is Semrush's Persona Builder. It's a great free tool and it will guide you for more information that you even thought possible. So if you go to semrush.com, you can look at their Persona Builder, and I'll definitely drop a link into this chapter for you. Now moving on to step three. Step three is a little bit more complex, but definitely needs to be done because obviously capitalism is about competition. So you want to take a look at your competitors' content marketing strategies. Best case scenario is that your competitors are doing nothing online. This gives you a better opportunity to dominate the space. If your competitors are active, however, pay attention to what's working for them and what has holes. Go to the drawing board and figure out how you can still fill those holes and shrink their efforts. For example, you have an e-commerce store that sells natural organic products. You want to find competitors that are relevant to you in that space. So you're going to look at people like Vitacost or Thrive. They sell your organic products for home goods. But their content could be lacking in some areas. So you want to find that gap and you want to hit that target. But with Semrush, as I just talked about their persona, they also have another fantastic tool. It's called Competitive Analysis. You can go in and you can plug in your competitor's website and you can, I'm not going to say the word, but you can get information about what your competitors are doing online. So you want to do a competitive analysis. That is an ideal strategy for content marketing. And we can go into that more onto another episode, but for this instance, let's just go on to this next part. Step four. Step four is a critical and most necessary part of any kind of content marketing because you don't want to duplicate. You don't want to overdo something. For instance, I have my marketing plan set up for 2024 already, and I've got all of my episodes of my podcast built out. I've got my blog articles outlined. I've got my email strategy. You need to do something similar to that for your small business. If you're a restaurant owner in today's society, you are probably lacking in consumers because the economy is so bad right now. So you want to hit more people with content. You don't have to do a paid commercial or a giveaway to bring people into your restaurant. Make it content that's fun. You're a barbecue restaurant in Memphis. Memphis is a hub of barbecue the world. We have our annual barbecue fest. We have our, we have our competitions. We have our festivals that are all related to barbecue and how barbecue is so popular. Use that as an advantage. Create content that is relevant to barbecue by posting it on your social media channels, emailing it out to your consumers. Create a loyalty program, for goodness sake. If you are not doing that as a restaurant owner, you are losing out on customers because customers want freebies and you want them to earn those freebies. You don't want to just give it to them. So you want them to come back and get them. You know, who has it? Firehouse Subs. Spend some money, buy so many subs and you get the next one free. Hollywood Feed, buy so many bags of dog food and get the 12th one free. Again, you have to make it achievable and attainable. SMART goals are the same way in loyalty. So you want to create a content calendar that works. Create a content calendar that exists for your organization for brainstorming, strategizing, tracking, and data collection. You have to be able to track those topics you're writing about, the frequency of your posts, your due dates, your keywords, and so on. That is just in marketing. But you as a small business owner are like, phew, that's too much for me. My mind is blown. Poof. Too much, right? So I'm getting excited because this is my passion. This is what I do for a living. And I want small businesses to succeed. I want every realm of industry to grow. I want our environment to be healthy. I want our capitalism to grow. So that's why I get so excited when I talk about content. Content. Content is king. Or in my case, queen. But you get my point. So again, you want to make that SMART goal for your content calendar. You want to be able to measure it, attainability, achievability, and time bound. Everything is relevant and SMART. SMART, SMART, SMART. Be SMART, okay? Think smarter, not harder. So when you're developing your content on a weekly basis, you'll find that a content calendar is a huge time saver and guiding light to further your content strategies. And last but not least, all in all, your small business doesn't have to tank just because your budget is tight. When the funds are available, it's always a good idea to consult a digital market agency to see what your options are. Content marketing teams can do intricate keyword and competitive research, intricate on-page optimization, conduct content audits throughout your post, and provide a ton of beneficial services. Plus, all the work you did starting your own content marketing efforts will be monumental to help that marketing team. It doesn't cost a lot. I talked about that $134 a month. Now, let's take that to the next level. You want to publish content on a regular basis. That is step 5 and the most important key to a content marketing strategy for any business. I don't care if you're a restaurant, you're a nail salon, you're a marketing company like me, you're an enterprise. You want to have content out on a regular basis because, again, I will say it and I will say it till the day I die, content is king. Publishing fresh content on a consistent basis is a concept that goes back to establishing credibility. When you're the only ones writing about your expertise, you're positioning yourself as leaders in the industry. Even if you're the only ones, you still look stronger than digital stagnant businesses. Your steady content influencer is influencing your SEO. Google isn't a big fan of quiet sites. When you're maintaining a blog, Google takes note of it, especially when your posts are relevant to the brand and you're enjoyable to your audience. Just remember, the more activity, the better the results. So you got the 5 steps and you're saying to yourself, okay, that's great information, but what do I do? You want to establish content that works. One type of content that is particularly useful for small business is educational content. I talked about that barbecue restaurant. And you have so much to give. You're not just selling the barbecue because it tastes awesome, it looks great on a plate, and you have a chef that's phenomenal. But how do you expand on that? You can include blog posts, infographics, ebooks, and more. You can talk about certain types of barbecuing. There's you've got soft rub, hard rub, different types of rubs that you can talk about. You have recipes that you can share. I'm not saying give away your recipe secrets, but I'm saying allow them to do it at home too, because today's economy, we're all tight. So establish a way to create content that's educational for that barbecue restaurant. Because educational content can help small businesses position themselves as thought leaders in the industry, building trust with potential customers and driving traffic to their websites. When you share information, people love you more. It's just reality. They're saying, thank you for that information. I never thought of that. Another type of content that can be effective in small business is testimonials and case studies. Now, this isn't going to be so much case studies for a barbecue place as we've talked about, but testimonials. You want your customers to leave you a review on your restaurant, whether that be on Yelp, on Nextdoor, on Google. You want those reviews, because without reviews, you're going to go back to being like Jen. You're not going to know what people are saying. Don't be like Jen, Okay. That's why she's important to this episode. Okay. Jen is you. Jen is that small business owner that is struggling to get out there, but we're not going to let you become Jen. We're going to help you. Okay. When you do testimonials, and in some cases, case studies, I will do case studies on my market because it's critical to marketing. These can help build social proof and show potential customers that your product or service is effective. I'm not going to go buy a product and use it constantly and find their results. Just like I'm not going to hire a company to do work and they don't do anything for 6 months. You know, it's definitely effective when it comes back to case studies. You want to prove to people that it's relevant. Finally, consider using content to run promotions or giveaways. That's going to be good for, you know, restaurants, nail salons, hair salons, etc. This is a great way to generate buzz and build interest in your business. Just be sure to run promotion following the rules set by the platform. For example, Facebook has their own set of guidelines for running promotions. And obviously, influencer marketing is a big part of that. So be careful. You know, you've got all this content, you've got the ideas that you want to do. So what channels work? There are several distribution channels for small business that can use to get their content seen by their target audience. The most effective one, obviously, is social media. This is one of the most popular and effective ways to distribute content, as it always allows businesses to reach a larger number of people at a relatively low cost. X, formerly known as Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn are all great platforms for promoting content. But do you know what channel is right for you? We talked about that earlier. We'll go into that again. Channel number two, email marketing. Believe it or not, email is not dead. If people tell you email is dead, they are not doing it right. This can be an effective way to reach customers and prospects who have already shown an interest in your business. Send out regular newsletters featuring new blog posts, case studies, infographics, and other types of content that would be of interest to your readership. Don't just assume they're reading it. Make sure you have clickable content in that email. Obviously, paid advertising. Now, with the world of paid advertising, there are so many things at play right now because of privacy. So I don't do a lot of paid advertising with my clients at first. I say at first because I build onto that strategy. So year one, it's going to be about building your brand. Year two, we're going to go into, you know, building that paid advertising platform. So what platforms work best for paid advertising? Google AdWords, of course, Facebook's ads, LinkedIn ads, Twitter ads. Those are all relevant. But a lot of people lose out on one particular area, Microsoft Bing. Microsoft Bing is actually a growing place for paid advertising. And it's very inexpensive, believe it or not. It doesn't have a higher bid rate as AdWords, but you can mirror your Google ads into Bing, and it can mirror exactly what you've done there and place ads for you in their Bing platform. Those two are going at it, so be aware of those changes in 2024 and beyond, because obviously privacy is playing a big role in that. So here's some important facts that I've gathered for you, because I feel like they're important. According to HubSpot 2023 State of Marketing Report, Facebook emerges the top distribution channel for content, used by 64% of marketers, followed by Instagram at 58%, YouTube at 57%, Twitter at 43%, TikTok at 42%, and LinkedIn following it last at 33%. This platform allows businesses to reach a vast audience and offers a robust targeting options. But Facebook is changing. Be aware. LinkedIn, the best business-to-business powerhouse. Business-to-business marketers reported to Content Marketing Institute that LinkedIn was the most common and top-performing organic social media channel platform for people going for business activity. For bloggers and writers in the business-to-business space, leveraging LinkedIn can be a potent strategy to connect professionals and decision-makers. Paid social advertising. 80% of business-to-business marketers who use paid distribution rely on paid social media advertising, which, while this can still require a budget, it offers precise marketing options that can amplify your content visibility. So there you go. It's all there. You know, and after all, you've done all that stuff, where, you know, this is a long episode for me because it's so much information, but it's valuable. But we've got one last thing. What do we talk about? Our four areas. The last area being measure. measure that content. The first metric every small business should have is website traffic. You can track website traffic using Google Analytics or any other similar tool. Look at your overall website traffic as a traffic to specific pages or blogs. If you see an increase in website traffic after you launch your content strategy, this is a good sign that your strategy is working. Another metric to look at is engagement. Engagement on social media includes things like social media shares, comments on blog posts, and email subscribers. Look at both the quantity and quality of engagement. A high quantity of low quality engagement, for example, spammy comments, is not as valuable as a smaller quantity of high quality engagement, for example, thoughtful comments on a blog post. Finally, you can also look at sales metrics. If your goal is to increase sales, track things like website conversions, lead generated, and sales revenue. If you see an increase in any of these metrics, any implementing your content marketing strategy, this is a good sign that your strategy is definitely working. Measuring the success of your content marketing strategy can be difficult, but is important to do if you want to make sure that your strategy is effective. So that's all of our areas. So in the world of content marketing, the journey never truly ends. Content is and will remain king, and it's a continuous exploration of ever-evolving process of creating, distributing, optimizing content resonates with your audience. As bloggers, writers, and creators, you have to harness the knowledge from these statistics and use it to craft compelling narratives, share valuable insights, and make a lasting impact in the digital realm. Remember, in this content-driven age, your words can influence, inspire, and ignite change. So embrace the data, embrace the challenges, and embark on your content marketing journey with the knowledge that the world is waiting to hear your unique voice and perspective. Get started outlining your SMART goals and create the content that will get you hits, get you leads through local search and social media marketing. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Natural Marketer Podcast. And always, if you have questions, you can reach out to me by phone or by email, naturalmarketer@vsmithmedia.com. Happy marketing, everyone.